Good afternoon. It is almost, well, it is actually precisely 6:30 p.m. in Seattle, Washington, Little Saigon, Seattle, and it's August the 10th, 2019, and it's great, and I'm here to say hello. Yeah, so good morning, good afternoon to all ships at sea, and if this message is somehow accidentally transmitted through some sort of device into deep space, good afternoon, good morning, whatever, to all you aliens or lost civilizations out there in deep space, 70,000 light years from now, which means, wow, 70,000 years from now you're getting this. And you probably don't know what the fuck this is about, and guess what? Nobody else does either. I'm the only one in on the joke. Yeah, fuck. I have a horrible revelation I have to reveal as one of my subjects for tonight. It's really critical. Some of you will get quite sad, and so I feel like I need to turn off the organ and focus on it. It is the first topic. I've already done one podcast today. I'm trying to clean up my notebook. I have many topics in there that I have not discussed. This topic is critical. It's of critical importance. If you're a member of the Dr. Freckles Global Tontine Club Inner Sanctum on Minds, you'll want to think of this as a double plus, triple important message. X-ray 78-Z Lima Lima Uniform. You should be recording this and monitoring this and meditating on this and doing your hot yoga naked if you are busty and single between the ages of 28 and 42. And you're good looking and whatnot. But hey, that's eye of the beholder, and I guess I'm being a dick. This is an important message because it's sort of related to a topic from my last podcast. I spent a lot of time on identity politics bullshit because as I told you, as I made clear, if I ever rebuke you, it will not be because you're gay or straight or man or woman or je or black or white or Asian or Mexican or I don't give a fuck. It won't be because you're Native American or an actual Indian from Chennai. If I say something shitty to you, it'll likely be motivated by one or more causes, but most explicitly because I think you're a dumbass. And there is no amount of blaming anyone for that but yourself. If you seek to blame a racial issue, you are actually the racist. If you seek to blame a sexist issue, guess what? You're the fucking sexist. If I'm calling you a dumbass, it isn't because of anything but the fact that you're a dumbass. I want to make this clear because I have no doubt in the coming days, especially given the fact that I've been calling Trump a dumbass, that people will come out and say, well, we want to have free speech, but you're not allowed to say bad words that people might think are racist. Folks, just about every fucking word you use at this point, somebody thinks is racist. Or sexist, or homophobic, or anti-trans, or anti-whatever. Whatever new gombulan species comes along, I am about to reveal to you a sacred truth, and I know you're waiting for it. It's really complicated. I gotta drink a little coffee before I reveal this truth. This is way bigger than that fucking Scientology, fucking Xenu, fucking 707s delivering your frozen bodies in the volcano bullshit. Way bigger than that. You ready? I want you to sit there quietly in your hot yoga pants, and you can caress yourself if you want to. Remember, I'm getting baptized, but I'm a sinner. Are you ready? Not everyone is going to like you. Now, folks, you need to know something. I'm a Christian. I'm unashamedly a Christian. And as a Christian, I try to understand and respect others. But that doesn't mean I approve of everyone. That doesn't mean I'm okay with everyone, okay? Just because I'm okay with you as an adult doing with other voluntary adults in the privacy of your bedroom whatever screwy crap you want to do with your junk, that's your own fucking business. If, on the other hand, I were, let's say, a taxpayer, which technically I am, and I gave a shit, which technically I don't because I don't believe in the crocodile, read government, I don't believe in government, but if I actually believe government worked, and given that I'm a taxpayer, what would bother me is if you were, and I had a kid in school, what would bother me is if you had a fucking textbook telling my 8-year-old kid that one kind of sexuality is the equivalent of to another, and that anybody can get married and that's all okay. It's one thing to be respectful of others, and you can kind of sell that message if you want to in biology class, but it's a completely another thing to take this fucking bizarro land, this fucking potpourri of made-up genders, and calling it the truth. So yeah, folks, I mean, you should be respectful of others, but that doesn't mean you have to approve. The main message here is this. Not everyone's going to like you. If you didn't learn that in grade school or college, if you didn't learn that in your first job or your second job, if you're so tied in to that smart device you stare at all day that makes you so much smarter, I want you to know this because it's important, because you'll actually get over a lot of fucking grief in this life, and you'll get over the social media crap, and you'll get over all of it if you just understand this. Not everyone's gonna like you, and also, as a corollary, you don't have to like everybody. Yes, it's true. You should try to understand. You should try to respect, and above all else, don't be a bully. Don't go around beating people up because they're different. Don't be a jerk. But just because you shouldn't be a jerk does not imply you have to be friends with everyone. Or, and this is also important, that no matter how nice you are, and you might be the nicest fucking person in the world, but no matter how nice you are, not everyone's gonna like you. You don't have to like everybody, and not everyone is going to like you. You know, part of me almost wants to just cut this podcast here, because that's really kind of an important message, and yet it's so simple. People should have learned this a long time ago. A lot of our political issues are around this issue of people liking each other. Folks, I don't give a fuck if you like me or not. And also, if you don't, and you don't enjoy listening to me, don't. You're not obligated. Just because somebody sent you a link doesn't mean you have to click on it. I know I'm telling you stuff you should already know, but I'm trying to fucking help you right now. Okay? Not everyone likes me. I am way over that fact. In fact, I'm a rather, how can I phrase this? I'm a refined thing, refined taste type thing. Very few people like me, I would contend. At this point in human history, if everyone actually knew me, very few would like me. I have a tendency to tell the truth as I see it, and frankly, the truth as I see it these days is pretty fucked up. People want to hear happy, shiny shit. This has always been the case. This is not new. It just turns out that our government and the media is really good at manipulating that desire. People want to hear happy, shiny shit. That's why they stare at their fucking smart device, their ironically named technology. That's why they stare at it, because they want to have a happy fucking ending. But whatever happens next, and I don't care what you believe about the future, not everyone is going to like you. Okay? And you don't have to like everybody. I think I'm over that topic. Let's move on. So the other day on the bus, in fact, technically not the other day, I believe it was yesterday. Yesterday, on my way to work, the 545 bus driver passed the 40th Street exit to Willy Wonka's. Now, so you all know, and this is really kind of important, I keep track anecdotally of how things are kind of breaking down. And when it comes to the Metro, my general philosophy is this. I don't have a choice right now. I have to use it. I guess in theory, I could ride my bike to work and I would probably get into really good shape very quickly as my lungs collected whatever gumbus is floating in the air, and then I get lung cancer in 5 years. But yeah, other than getting gumbus in my lungs, the option is take the fucking bus. And frankly, driving a car ain't that much fucking better, except for the fucking fact that you control your destiny, but you really don't, because you're dealing with a lot of other crazy fuckers on the road. So yeah, I ride the fucking bus. And so yesterday, the bus driver misses the 40th Street exit. It is literally the most important exit for that bus any fucking morning. Once you get out of Washington, Once you leave Seattle, once you pass the last spot where you can get off, which is basically near Bell Street or Bell Avenue or whatever, the only important stop after that is not Yarrow Point. It isn't Evergreen, whatever. It isn't up the butt crack, fuck you, whatever, Kirkland exit. It's the 40th fucking street exit. That is the most important exit for the 545. So he misses it yesterday. And what's really funny is that one of my favorite characters from the past, Mr. Begs Don't Have Butts, dude, he was on the bus and he did get upset. And I recall telling him, listen, you shouldn't get upset. Most shit doesn't work now. Most stuff is falling apart. It's not just technology, it's people too. And I also remember telling him, and I could see that he smiled, but he also maybe had a sense of fear. I said, dude, you should be thankful that this is a fucking bus driver and not a fucking nuclear engineer at one of the fucking 80 plus nuclear reactor sites in the continental units in the continental United States, or one of the several hundred worldwide boiling water reactors. You should be happy it's a bus driver and not a nuclear engineer at a boiling water reactor nearby. Because believe me, you can get over the fucking fuck-ups of the Metro. But meltdowns are not so great. But it's funny because, you know, I've said in the past, I should be involved in the Metro King County marketing campaign, and that applies to community transit and sound transit as well. One of my campaign slogans would be, Metro, it mostly works. And it does. It mostly works. Like, Metro, I'd have a picture of kind of a stressed out person sitting in the seat next to a homeless dude, a woman sitting in a seat dressed in a business suit, stressed out, sitting next to a homeless person who's sniffing her, and the big fucking title of the message would be Metro : it mostly works. Yeah. Anyways, I gotta take it. I gotta take the Metro. I think some of the bus drivers listen to my podcast. They're trying to kill me, so I'm gonna leave it right there. Yes, that could be paranoia, but I don't know if it's paranoia. Paranoia, self-destroyer. Wasn't there a song? Paranoia, self-destroyer. Yeah, something like that. Next fucking topic is related to something else that happened this week that kind of got me down. I can't give out too many details because it's private information. But what I will say is this, more and more people I know, people who are friends, people I'm close to at about my age, and it's not just men, it's men and women, are being dumped by their husbands or their wives. Oh, gonna trade up to a better life, gonna find a better life. 20 years with you has been too long, and we raised the kids, and now it's time to do something better, something different. And I think as a divorced man, I've been a bit cavalier about marriage. And I think, you know, as an anarchist, I'm not talking about the document, because the little license that the crocodile gives you, the government gives you, is bullshit. It has nothing to do with love. It has everything to do with turning your love into an opportunity for your wealth to be stolen. And all of the fucking marriage credit bullshit aside, it's just another fucking crocodile scheme. So that being said, I'm not talking about the crocodile scheme when I talk about marriage. I'm talking about a loving commitment, monogamous commitment between two people that might involve being parents for the rest of your life. That's what I'm talking about. Being in a loving, monogamous relationship with someone for the rest of your life. And guess what? I don't know that you can just give a little Christian speech at this point. So I'm not going to be a douchebag and say, well, if only more people were Christians. Folks, that might be true, but it's fucking irrelevant at this point. More people are not Christians. And a lot of people in America, even a lot of Christians, have bought into a kind of general secular morality that if it feels good, it's okay. There's even people who sell the Jesus. There's, as I've spoken in the past, there are many false Jesuses, plural, right? Many false Jesus. Of the many bullshit Jesuses, the if it feels okay, go ahead and do it, Jesus, is one of the worst, because that's total crap. Jesus never said that, okay? Jesus never told people if it feels good, do it. And yet somehow, a lot of Christians, and definitely a lot of people who are just, you know, secular people, atheists, they've come to this belief that there's something inherently good about just doing what feels good. Well, folks, as someone who indulges in alcohol and other things, I can tell you that as enjoyable as it is to feel good, I don't even remotely think it's related to what doing what's right. I'm not saying it's bad to feel joy. It's just that that's not the point of doing what's right. It's not to feel good. I mean, yes, it's great to feel good if you help people, and I agree with that. But that's not exactly the same thing, is it? That's a kind of joy that's derived not from your own happiness, but from the happiness of others, really. Anyways, a lot of people I know, a lot of people I care about, including me, reached a certain point in life with someone they cared about and found out that maybe marriage is not what we thought it was. You know, when I got married and when I got divorced, I still believed, to some extent, in the crocodile. Sure, I would have preferred the crocodile like most libertarians would prefer the crocodile, aka government. I would have preferred the crocodile to be small, to mostly harass rapists and murderers, and to mostly put bad people in jail, and to leave ordinary, everyday people, irrespective of their race or background or whatever, leaving the fuck alone. That would be great. If government pretty much dealt with what was actually a crime and then let the rest of us work the rest of the shit out, I would probably say, okay, murder, yes. Rape, yes. Pedophilia, yes. Investigate these crimes. Property crimes, maybe. That one's a question mark. But violence between people, dude, that's totally, if you believe in the magical, tiny crocodile theory, that's totally what the Watchman crocodile could do, is just keep things, you know, be basically like Roadhouse. Imagine a society like the movie Roadhouse, and Patrick Swayze steps in periodically to break up fights. That is the amount of crocodile I would ever want. You know, the crocodile that basically protects people from being physically victimized. And I would include the victimization of children in this. But folks, that's not reality. Because the crocodile's not your friend, and the people who are supposed to be protecting each other and their children are the moms and the dads and the members of that community, not the magical fucking crocodile. He'll tell you lies, he'll tell you he can do things, but it's really just a fucking lie. So yeah, marriage seems like it's a worthless act at this point. In my opinion, with respect to the government, is a totally worthless and amoral act. But with respect to each other, I think a lot of people just don't believe in commitment. And there are a lot of reasons. If you ask me, one of the biggest reasons that splitting people up is about paradigms. It's about how people see the world. And it isn't as silly as, well, I'm Republican or I'm Democrat. I hate to break it to you folks, it's way fucking worse than that. Some people believe that the current set of arrangements, the arrangements whereby the United States goes around blowing up countries and stealing their shit and distributing the booty to some of the Americans, a lot of Americans believe that pirate ship reality, America as a giant pirate ship, can continue. And folks, maybe it can. Maybe it can last for another 100 fucking years, but nothing lasts forever, okay? The problem is a lot of people are in marriages now where some people really do believe in the crocodile, and they believe the crocodile's lies, and they're married to people who are beginning to say, you know, the crocodile brought me some gold, but I noticed that there was someone's house on fire, and he'd been there a few moments before. So yeah, I got my fucking gold, but what about those dead people over there? some people are starting to ask questions. Some people are beginning to say to themselves, maybe the crocodile isn't all that great. You know, maybe the government is bullshit. And I'm not saying they're all becoming anarchists, but I do think a lot of people are beginning to think about this issue of who has a right over me, my life, my body? Who has a right to tell me that my kids should be vaccinated or not vaccinated? And if your answer is the government, then you are a crocodile worshiper. Anyways, another problem with the crocodile is it's telling people everything's awesome. And everything isn't awesome, folks. Everything is not great. In Little Saigon, there are all sorts of problems. So if you're going to sell me the technophile, super-duper Bitcoin reality of post-scarcity bullshit, please come and chisel some dried cum and blood and feces off the sidewalks of Little Saigon. Come with me for a day and let's do that, while we talk about the magical super-reality of the now. What I'm telling you, folks, is that little glowing rectangle is telling a lot of husbands and wives that everything is great. So if your husband or your wife is unemployed or complaining or not in a good mood or not wanting to have sex, it isn't your problem and it isn't the crocodile's problem. It's your husband and or wife and or partner's problem. Because they don't get it. Because they don't understand how fucking awesome everything is. That right there, in my opinion, is one of the number one things breaking people apart right now. Some people believe the glowing rectangle, and it tells people if you don't have a good job, if you don't have a great credit score, if you're not driving a fancy car, then there's something wrong with you. And by derivation, one could say there's something wrong with your life partner, with your wife, with your husband, if they're not happy, if they don't have a great job, if they don't think this current fucked up reality is amazing as fuck. Oh, and by the way, TED Talks is mostly bullshit. So if you're one of these people who stays up late at night to listen to TED Talks so that some speaker can reinforce your belief that some gizmo will save your fucking life in 5 years, wake the fuck up, you're better off watching The Shopping Network. So here's another truth I'm going to lay on you, along with the first truth. The first truth is not everyone's going to like you. Wow, this is a podcast about truths. Not everyone's going to like you, nor should they, nor they should they be forced to. And guess what? You're not going to like everyone, nor should you be forced to. Just try to respect people. Here's the second truth related to marriage and relationships and everything that has to do with people burning bridges. And folks, I can testify to my own sins here. A couple years ago, I burnt almost every bridge I had to my family because I thought the only way I could be a real anarchist would be to drop off the radar and disappear into whatever's left of the underbelly of America, and that turned out to be a personal disaster. But the bottom line, dude, is I can testify. I've done this, okay? I've done this. I have gone to the point of wanting to write people off, even people in my own family. So you need to listen to what I'm about to say because these are words I speak to myself. I don't do it every day. I don't do it often enough, but it's almost a mantra. And as a Christian, I would say it's almost a prayer. And if it's not in Proverbs in some form, if it's not in one of the Psalms of the Bible, I'd be very surprised. If Jesus didn't say something like this at some point, I would be very, very surprised. So I want you to listen to this. There are things that people think are valuable today, that they think are priceless today. These things will be worthless tomorrow. There are things that people think are worthless today. Crap. They think they're crap. They're shit. They're not important today. These things will be priceless tomorrow. You might want to throw away your wife or your husband or your life partner. And listen, if that person's abusing you physically or psychologically, feel free to end that bullshit. But if it's really about the fact that you've gotten to a crossroads, that you don't communicate, that you spend more time staring at your fucking smart device than you do talking to each other, if it's really about that, then please, by all means, pause and or stop this fucking podcast you're listening to. Walk into the other fucking room and talk to that person that you once told, I love you to. There are things that people think are worthless today, like family, like friends, like community, like having air that you can breathe, and water you can drink, and land you can grow food on without getting cancer. These are things that people think are worthless today. I promise you, they will be priceless tomorrow. And when I say tomorrow, I don't mean Sunday, August the 11th. I mean as in the future, and I don't think it's that far in the future. Some of you out there think you can trade up, like, oh, I've been married for 8 years, and my husband's a doofus, and he started smoking weed and talking all dark shit and doesn't believe in the system. I go to this thing and I hang out with really cool people, and there's this one smart guy and he likes me and he wants to fuck me. And therefore, I'll go fuck this person and be with this person, and then I'll dump my husband and everything will be better. Folks, if that's one of your smart moves right now, to dump the person that's been with you for years for the dude or the woman or the man, if your plan is to dump that person because something new came along, you're about to make a very terrible move. Like I said, I'm not telling people they should stay together in broken relationships. Frankly, people should not be in loveless relationships. And as an anarchist, this is how I define marriage. Two people, monogamous, committed, ostensibly to be parents for the rest of their lives. But yeah, people do fall out of love, I guess. And people do, I guess, decide that they want to split up. And I will also say this, because I have to repeat it. If someone's abusing you physically, psychologically, if someone is abusing your children physically or psychologically, you have an obligation to end it. Because that kind of crap is bullshit. And as an anarchist who believes in the non-aggression principle, that's being a bully. That's the shit you have to put a stop to. But if it really is just a question of flavor of the week, if it really is just a question that your spouse, your lover, the person you've been committed to for years and maybe even had kids with, is simply not as sexy or as cool as your coworkers, and doesn't buy into all the bullshit, all the happy, shiny Walt Disney crap. If that's really the thing, my suggestion is to meditate before you make a fucking decision, to check yourself before you wreck yourself, because there will come a time, folks, and I'm going to end this podcast on this note because it's so fucking critical, because I have been a dope, and I have been a stupid. I have been stupid, and I have written people off. And I think that's one of the reasons why it took me so long to find a congregation, so long to even get baptized again, or to believe I could, or even trust people, period. I have written off the human race. I have been Molière's misanthrope. I gotta tell you, folks, loneliness is a cancer. It's a cancer of the soul. And it's good to know people, and it's good to fall in love. And there will come a time, I believe, in your life, if you act rashly today and decide to dump a person that you were committed to, there will come a time when that flashy flavor of the week is not there, and you will be alone, and there will be nobody who gives a fuck about it. Nobody. If you don't believe me, okay, but I'm speaking from fucking experience. And some of us, you know, we're walking calluses. I'm almost one. I cry. I do. I get sad. But in many ways, I'm a walking callus. So at this point, if you tell me, Dan, you got cancer, you're going to die. Dan, you're ugly. You're stupid. We hate you. If I got a bunch of people rebuking me, I don't know if I give a fuck. It depends upon the day of the week, right? But I can't lie to you. Loneliness is an existential cancer. Loneliness tears at you. Loneliness is of the many tools that Lucifer can use against you and a way to basically corrupt you. Believe it or not, loneliness, I think, is one of them. Now, that does not mean you're bad if you're lonely. It just means that one of the dangers of loneliness is that you go to the dark side, that you get pulled to the evil side, the where your thoughts headed, you know, in terms of people. That instead of thinking of people as potential friends and people that you can be with and enjoy and be happy with, you start to objectify them. Loneliness can turn you into a misanthrope, And that's the best case scenario. There are things in this world that people believe are valuable today that will be worthless tomorrow. And it's not just about precious metals, although I would include that as well. Okay? There are things that people believe are worthless today. They will be priceless tomorrow. There are things that you think are priceless today or really important, like, I don't know, updating your fucking status on Facebook. I hate to break it to you, that's probably going to be worthless tomorrow. But friends, family, community, air you can breathe, water you can drink, land you can grow healthy food on, these things are actually priceless today, and they will retain their value tomorrow. And on that note, I don't know if I'll be doing another podcast. I did want to do a spring cleaning of topics, but I don't know. With this baptism tomorrow, I'm a little bit discombobulated, as they say. And it's not an issue of faith. Maybe I should talk about this before I let y'all go. Let y'all go to enjoy your Saturday night, after you go to the Coustalizer. The Coustalizer gets turned on. Yeah. I believe in God. I have faith in God. I cannot pinpoint the exact moment when I believed in God, but I can tell you it happened in the years during and between when my mom and my sister died of cancer. Now, some people would contend that this was a foxhole conversion, and if it was, the reasoning is not clear to me, because I wasn't really afraid of dying. I remember driving home after seeing my sister at the hospital one day, a few weeks before she died, and I remember pleading. I remember actually pleading with God, say, God, I'm a worthless piece of shit. I have no kids. My wife looks like she basically hates me. If there's anyone to give cancer to and take, you could take me. And I know you can all say, well, everybody says that. And actually, if you have a soul and a heart when it comes to a loved one, I'd kind of hope you might say it if you're like me and no one really does depend on you. I mean, my ex-wife was already almost out the door emotionally and financially. So it wasn't like I was leaving, you know, starving mouths behind. If you're a parent, it would be different, right? So I said, God, you know, take me. Leave my sister Nancy alone. She has two daughters. Now, obviously, God did not answer my prayer, and I'm not even going to speculate on that, because one of the sources of faith for me is the fact that, yeah, the plan, whatever the plan is probably a bit more complicated than most of us would ever understand. Even if you read the Bible really well, diligently, even if you're a biblical scholar, you're probably still left with, at best, a foggy notion of what the plan is. We're not God. I am not God. I am not infinitely powerful. So yes, I have my faith, and no, I can't pinpoint the moment when I got it. But I can tell you, for the first few years of having faith, I could not find a church. And I tried. I went to a few places. And what I encountered was almost the rebuke I deserved for being an atheist in a way. What I encountered were a lot of empty places, giant arena churches with rock and roll bands and trademark songs and smoke machines and Starbucks cafes in them. Or I'd go to some of these smaller churches and I'd find they had the Obama book on what Jeremiah was saying when it came to widows and orphans. What he was really talking about were Mexicans. And again, I'm not anti-Mexican, folks. It's just that I want my religion to not be some sort of political propaganda. So basically, the first few years after gaining my faith, I had a hard time finding a church. And do I know for certain I will be at this church that I'm at now for the rest of my life? I don't know for certain much of anything. I will tell you that I measure my life these days in 6 to 8 month increments. I really can't tell you what the future will hold. We are on the verge of very discontinuous times. And if you have at all a background in mathematics, and you know what a set of discontinuous functions is, you know that you can't predict one function from the previous one. You can't do it. They're different functions. That is the nature of discontinuity. And you can talk about things like strange attractors and you know, a butterfly flaps its wings and the butterfly effect. But the point is, when it comes to discontinuity, all you can be sure of is that you can be sure of nothing. So I measure my life these days in terms of 6 to 8 month increments. What I will tell you is that, and I think some of you guys have been listening long enough, you know this, I was in a rough spot this last winter. A number of you folks were very generous, and I keep trying to remember to say this, but thank you. You were very generous. The money you guys provided, believe it or not, was a big reason why I'm still here. And those are things I prayed for. I also started going to this church more often during this last winter, and the pastor's sermons and his wisdom were great consolation to me in a very dark time. So yeah, I'm getting baptized tomorrow. And yes, I was baptized originally as a Catholic. And yes, I will tell you, the nice way to put it is I have mixed feelings about the papacy and the Catholic Church. That is a really nice way of putting it. I have mixed feelings. Do I think there are Catholics who are Christians? Absolutely. I know a few. Yes, there are Catholics who are Christians. Do I think the papacy itself is Christian? No, I don't. I don't think the Pope is Christian either. But that doesn't mean that there aren't people who gather in churches in worship of Jesus who happen to be Catholic and are also Christian. I believe that's also true. That's how I feel about it. I was baptized into a church that, in my opinion, has a lot of mixed messages and very dubious origins. But that's it. And so I'm getting baptized tomorrow, and I guess I'm a bit nervous. I'm already way over. Like, well, not really. It's only, no, not really, 36 minutes. This is okay. I was misinterpreting it, I think. But, yeah. So this is something that's got me a bit whacked out. And I don't know what to tell you except to say that I believe in God. I try to be a good Christian. I know I'm a sinner. I know that I take God for granted. I also take his gifts for granted. I know that when I talk about the doom crap, especially bringing up Guy McPherson, I know on some level it's a little bit unchristian, because if you're a Christian, you have to believe, on some level you must believe in God's hesed, which is a word, hesed, H-E-S-E-D, for God, it's a word, it's a Hebrew word, for God's pretty much infinite compassion, infinite love. So here's the thing. I know I talk about a lot of dark stuff. It's mostly just to get people to wise up a bit. It doesn't mean I think there's no way through this. What I can tell you as a Christian, I think these are going to be difficult times. I think that we could be coming upon a time when Christians will have to basically go underground. And I know that sounds scary, and it's kind of one of these best case scenarios. The worst case scenarios are all way worse. But a scenario where we enter into a period of the whole one world government, one world currency, one world religion, yeah, that's not too far off, folks. If they get what they want, they'll get it. And believe it or not, as strange as this sounds, I think Trump is actually the battering ram for globalism. I think Trump is doing exactly what they want him to do. He's not actually really doing anything against them yet, and frankly, the Epstein murder has me think that I just think we must be so close to a big false flag, it's not even funny. The Epstein murder, not suicide, the Epstein murder happened under federal control. Or at least under the control of somebody who works for the crocodile. Bottom line is, the Epstein murder was sanctioned. You'd have to think Trump was an idiot to think that he didn't have the power or the knowledge to know that this is one of the most important material witnesses in history. So you know what, guys? I'm getting baptized tomorrow, and yeah, I do think our current reality is really fucked up. And guess what? I don't blame God for that. I don't. If you blame God for the shit going on in the world right now, it's mostly, if not all of it, 100% the result of human bullshit. Please take fucking responsibility. let me just dovetail back to a topic from a previous podcast to end this one. Forget blaming God. Stop blaming other things. Take control of your life. This is what I got to tell myself. I get angry a lot about the way the sort of the economy works now, and mostly about what it's like to be a software engineer, the way the economy works right now. But listen, at the end of the day, I can make other choices. I could go into some other job. I could scale down more. Yeah, the options are shitty, but we still have a few options. The choices are all crap, but we could still make some choices. I have not given up, and I'm not suggesting any of us do, and I suppose maybe that's why I'm getting baptized. That's why, despite a whole week of bullshit, and frankly a lot of bullshit that made me question my faith, despite a week of bullshit, I am still getting baptized tomorrow, and I'm not ashamed of that. And if it comes down to the situation where at some point in the future, everybody blames Christians for whatever fresh hell arrives, I mean, I don't know if that'll happen, but looking at the media and the news right now and all these fucking false flag shootings, because that's what they look like, it could be right around the corner that we have our own Nero blaming the Christians for the burning of Rome. Listen, folks, that could happen, and when that happens, I don't magically turn around. I was an atheist for many years. I was not easily turned into a Christian. The likelihood that I would turn from Christianity because the going gets tough, not because of the logic of it. Listen, if I come up with a proof that there is no God, I will no longer believe. I'm just telling you that. If I can figure out a way to prove there is no God, and I keep trying to do that all the time, yeah, but I can't. Okay, I'm not talking about some proof there is no God. I'm talking about choosing to step away from the Lord in heaven because times get tough, which I suppose connects to that previous topic too. Things that are valuable, things that are worthless. So yeah, I would suggest, now that I can finally end my rant here, I would suggest you really think about that before you make a decision. The things that you think are really important today could be completely unimportant tomorrow, and vice versa. Have a great evening.